Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Sentinel Coffee, serving Southeast with locally roasted organic coffee and door-to-door delivery. More at sentinelcoffee.com. Our first guest is here a few minutes before his lecture or his talk or his discussion to begin over at the APK. His talk is on current projects in Tlingit oral literature. Welcome, language educator Clune, Dr. Lance Twitchell. It's so nice to have you, Gunashtish, for being here. And will you please introduce yourself?
Alaska Native Yukatungi, Kenel seen a yash the cut has the Chilko has on a car. Yeah, my name is Hune. I teach the Tlingit language. I work in the Tlingit language. I would also really love to learn Haida and Yupik. And I want all languages in Alaska to be at a place of strength.
So you are going to be presenting at Sharing Our Knowledge, a conference of Tlingit, Haida, Tsimshian tribes and clans, which has been happening this week and goes into the weekend here at 3:45. If somebody hasn't been to the conference yet, Kune, tell us about it. What's it look like?
Yeah, sure. I would want to acknowledge Andrew Hope III, who really did a lot to get this conference going. And some of the initial thoughts were there's a lot of people studying Tlingit culture and languages, and then there's Tlingit people and knowledge bearers and speakers. So some of the origins behind this conference was bringing those groups together to talk about how is the language and the culture being studied, what are the contributions of indigenous peoples, what are the issues we might need to discuss in terms of knowledge and ownership and accreditation. And so as we sort of look at the development of this conference, it's a chance for indigenous people of Southeast Alaska to gather around this concept of Wushtin Kanachtulniki Ha'atwaskuku. We're going to tell each other about our knowledges.
Okay. And so again, your presentation on Tlingit oral literature starts at 3:45. Is that right?
That's correct. So I just finished the slides this morning, which is how you're supposed to do these things. And it's just a lot of fun to do this type of work, which is looking at our stories, Hashkashniki, and thinking about a lot of different elders I've worked with different folks like Nora and Richard Dauenhauer, and just trying to follow their footprints in the type of things that they did when it comes to oratory. So my goal is to do my presentation 100% in Tlingit. So if you'd like to see a presentation in Tlingit, there'll be subtitles for those who are linguistically impoverished in terms of their ability to comprehend Tlingit. But I remember several conferences, maybe two conferences ago, we were talking and saying we should be doing our presentations in Tlingit. So I look forward to a day when a conference like this can have one day where everything is in Tlingit and then another day where everything's in English. And so we're just trying to get folks along to experience that ride.
As part of your introduction, you talked about several more languages that you'd like to learn. How would you explain your passion for language?
Yeah, I am ethnically Tlingit, Haida, Yupik, and Sami, and English. And so one of my interests is just learning the languages of my ancestors. In particular, Haida language. I saw Linda Schreck talking just downstairs, and I'm just such an admirer of her and her work and others who were doing work in Haida. And so part of my interest is really just figuring out how do languages work from a personal perspective? Because I'm just always interested in how languages work. But then my passion is probably in figuring out how to get people to speak and to use the languages. So one of my mentors is Pila Wilson, and he told me language revitalization is about two things. One, protecting the speakers you have while making new ones, and two, making sure your language is the language of power and use. And so in my day-to-day work, I try to figure out things that'll work for Tlingit, things that'll work for me to continue learning additional languages, and then knowledges that I might be able to share with other folks, and policy changes that I think will open the door for creating a space where these languages will thrive.
Today at 3:45, you'll be presenting on Tlingit oral literature. Do you have a piece of oral literature you can share with our listeners?
I can do a little bit of this one. So today I'm going to do three basic things. So I'm going to do some new stories that we've made kind of aimed for kids that are based on old Tlingit stories but are condensed versions. An elder who's telling a raven story who was recorded in the 1950s and was probably 90 years old at that time. And then also some other stories that we've collected that were in English that we've translated into Tlingit. So I'll do the beginning of the first raven story that I know. You disayu, you kiskokek, you do a sock. Chalk oe connect your chalk, Tlingit anika ye wootian. Just a cut at the ya idach awe has the cow a hail. E has a gee, Tlingit ani aya, sugar let eat. Ach a wage a dasa aya ye an a kitchen. Ye has yawk, ye has a ya a die when nain. Ye a wet lay the heen. Do dark, kayukuchek aya de sai. Wasa with a tish, huh? Cha a dart away you to a ton. Elch a good cock or do hunt do a good, to took a nay ye awo oo. Cha cluck away with took a nay ye awo oo co a. Do eek, ye awa ka. Do goo, cut do shut us ewa woos. Cock aga? Ah, cock away. A jack away. A jack away is the cut to yet key. A joy was a clach de tu woo y nick. De tu woo could knock away a cow a wash. Ya who away cow de gach. Kawukach e could knock away way niche cock. De hunt de woo good away way ka. Shach aya ye to a sock or ut. A hewa woos. Glock. One nach so e gach. Ya ach yet ki chuck away red ki as our oo. Ye has cood the tea awa ach eek has a juck. Ye awa shakawa jaw ach. Ya te a cock gishi, shan ya tea ye. Ye awa a kachaya shoot at the uck. A ka awa cook git the nude. Ya te a dachaya ye kakos tea. Tesh could kesh the chaki at. So a long time ago, the moon was on the earth, and the moon was called Yuqisqoqheq, which is a tide controller. And he controlled everything, and everything was scared and was worried that he's going to flood the world. And he had a sister named Kayukuqheq, and she was always lonely, and nobody would touch her. She would just have these babies because she was lonely. And every time he heard a baby was born, he would ask if it was a boy, and then he would kill the baby. So one day she's crying on the beach because she's just so heartbroken, and this man came up to her called Shach, which is a heron, and said, "Sister, why are you crying?" She says, "Well, my brother, he just kills all my babies." And he says, "Well, you're going to go find this black stone, and you're going to build a fire over it, and you're going to swallow it when it's just cool enough to touch, and you'll have a baby that can't be killed." And that's how Raven was born.
Ganesh Jeesh, thank you for sharing that with us. I think some people think of literature as something that's written down, but this is Tlingit oral literature. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I think the way that academia historically has divided up indigenous people is a very colonial process. And so what they'll do is they'll cut the pieces of indigenous existence. They'll cut indigenous existence into pieces and say, okay, anthropology, you get this part, and history, you guys can have this part, and you guys can have this part. And they get to have it to study and to become experts in. But then if you go and you look at, well, what's canonized and how are things canonized? And then that's where the racism and the colonialism will really reveal itself in other ways, where they'll say, oh, yeah, well, we have art and fine things, and you guys have artifacts, and we have literature, and you guys have stories, and we have history, and you guys have oral narratives. And so there's these very clear divisions about what gets to be a thing of high intellectual value. And so much like the Dauenhauers and lots of other indigenous scholars is sort of just looking at how these things work and deconstructing them and just saying, there's a story. There was an elder named Catherine Atla. She was a Koyukon elder, and she said, I could tell you a story that takes me 10 days to tell. And so how do you think something that's written down is intellectually more powerful than that? And so, but trying to just push away also from trying to say, oh, well, you think you're better than we are. Well, we're better than you. And then trying to say, actually, we need to move away from all of that stuff and get back to this concept of sharing knowledge and without needing to put things into hierarchies. I think hierarchies get people in a tremendous amount of trouble because then you'll be trying to figure out who's the best at what, where you should really be trying to figure out what are we and where are we going and what are we supposed to be doing from here. If you want to be the best, just go play basketball and be the best that way. But when it comes to intellect and art and other things, we've got to be a lot more open-minded.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Khune, Dr. Lance Twitchell. He'll be presenting at the APK at 3:45. Kara, and listeners, you will have missed it, but don't worry. Sharing Our Knowledge is being recorded for later broadcasts throughout the fall and into the winter on 360 North and KTOO TV. I'll let you go, sir. May I ask, 3:45 at the APK, would you be kind enough to invite people in Tlingit to your presentation?
Hatia, Gosh Elizabeth Pranovich iti kakakoa. Hatia, Goshi Tuasagu, Wishingich Kashniki, Achi. Hatia, Yi Huaich. So you're all invited to come to the Elizabeth Pranovich Hall at 3:45 if you want to hear some Tlingit stories. And Scott, I'd like to say Kunchish for learning Tlingit and setting an example of what other folks can do so that we can hear well-pronounced Tlingit words on the air. Kunchish.
Uh-huh.